So now we're being recorded for posterity. Again, this is Sandra McKnight, and we're doing our free seminar on Ask Sandra McKnight Your Question. So I'll start, of course, with the questions of the people that are online, and then I will include some other questions, and we might end up doing like a little study group around a focused topic, because I would like to hear some of your opinions on things. So the first person here was Nelson, right, Casey?
Yes, Casey.
Casey, and your question was how to better engage people in listening, right? Now, let me just ask a question. This is not a listening seminar. This is a talking seminar. So you're basically asking people to listen to you?
Well, maybe I should restate my question.
Yes, okay.
How can we use our voice to better engage people in active listening?
All right. Now, I want to say that Casey's voice is very well articulated, and he studied with me, he reminded me, in private coaching sessions about 2 years ago. So this is a question. Your voice seems to be coming across very well. It's very articulate. It's very clear. You've got good resonance. So why are they not listening more actively to you? All right. The first thing I ask of people is, what kinds of people? Is this everybody not listening, or just certain kinds of people, or certain kinds of circumstances? So, Casey, can you give me some more information?
I think that I think I'm asking kind of a general question.
Okay.
I run into it sometimes over the phone, and primarily, what I find is that a lot of people use a simplex phone so that when they're speaking on their phone, they cannot hear on their phone. I decided to just throw it out there and
okay, a simplex
maybe
phone.
Gain some insight from others.
Yes, I'm not sure I know what that is, a simplex phone. You mean while they're talking, they can't hear at the same time?
That's correct.
So you
yes.
But when they stop talking, they can hear?
Yes. Yeah.
So the issue is cross-talking. You can't interrupt a person.
That's true. Very true.
That's number one. So we want to make sure that we never cross-talk, and I think that's a general rule of thumb for everybody. The definition of conversation in America is, this is a joke, people, and the person who stops first to take a breath loses. All right?
Yeah, that is very
true. So the idea... in America, people don't listen most of the time. What they do is they just try to compete with each other. This is the reason why people go, or you understand. They use a lot of filler words because they're afraid if they stop making sound or stop saying words that the other person will jump in and they will lose their train of thought or not get their message across. So actually, conversation is a give and take. I say something. So actually, Casey, this simplex phone, is that what you call it, a simplex phone, could be a great asset in teaching us about conversation. I speak, they listen. They speak, I listen, right? And there is like a pause in between where we take a breath in order to prepare our next thought. So that is my question, or my answer for the simplex phone and also conversation in general. Most people don't take the time to listen. And part of the reason is they don't have the confidence in their speaking skills that they are actually asking anybody else to listen. Now, when we're on the telephone, there is such a thing as I talk about the telephone stage. I'm using it right now. I have us all in a virtual room. I am actually speaking as if you're all right here beside me or in the room, and I am talking with you, and I'm creating a kind of space. And I'm filling that space with content, with my own tonal voice, my emotions, my excitement, my passion, my energy, to keep you engaged. Many people just talk, and they do nothing to create a space, or another way of doing it is a container of which other people can fall into it auditorily and stay with you. So that's my two things, my two responses for you, Casey. Is there anything else?
No, that's very good. Thank you.
Okay, because a person can't actively listen if you don't create the space and ask them to do so. And on the telephone, it's harder because you can't see them, right? You can't see if they're suddenly looking the other direction or writing or paying no attention to you.
Very correct. And a lot of people are using visual cues.
Absolutely. So I don't have to listen unless I can see you, they think. Of course, in our modern day, business is conducted over the telephone. You have international telephone calls. We have webinars, right, which are teaching and sales tools. We have teleconferences like we're doing right now. And it is very hard for many people to keep concentration, listening concentration. So that's why the diction has to be very clear. That's another word for pronunciation or enunciation. And you have to phrase and you have to send the emotional tone that keeps them, dare I use this word, captivated? All right. Who is next? Who was the second person to come on? Was it Greg from San Antonio? And then Lynn? So Greg, yeah. Greg didn't have a question, I don't believe, right?
No, I just finished up your voice
my class, and, right.
Yeah, your class, and you invited
You're
me
just
to chat.
Reinforcing,
yeah.
Right? A lot of my clients, I ask them if they'd like to come on to this call, which is free. It helps to reinforce the skill sets that we learn and their communication ideas and the way they want to present themselves in public. Lynn, we're to you now.
Hello.
Yes. So your question I have written down is, I want to lower my pitch, sound more pleasing, and was the last word commanding?
At times I'd like to be more commanding, yes.
Yes. Give me a little insight, what's going on. In other words, are you in a job where you have to be more authoritative, or are you in a people skills job?
I'm a privacy officer for a very large corporation, and so I do need to have a commanding tone at times.
Okay, but the lowering the pitch and being more pleasant, how does that relate to your communication needs?
Well, I actually was doing a training session, and we were doing a web-based training plan, and one of the people that were in the recording studio, one of the people didn't show up, and so I had to step in for that person. So I had an opportunity to listen to my voice on a webinar and then played back over a web-based training, and my voice fit the role that I was playing at the time, but it was a higher pitched and not as pleasing as I'd like it to be.
Okay. Right now, I think other people might agree with me, you don't have a high-pitched voice, you're not talking like this, right?
Okay.
The other people agree?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, there you are. You don't have a high-pitched voice. So, did you put on some kind of a quote-unquote professional voice when you suddenly had to go on and be recorded?
No.
No?
I did not. I just talked in my regular voice, and it just sounded...
flat.
It sounded young and high-pitched to me.
Well, you do sound young, but there's nothing wrong with that. If you don't mind me asking, what is your age range?
54.
Okay. So, you know, I'm quite a bit older than you, and everybody thinks I'm quite a lot younger. So as you get older, it's quite lovely. So we don't want to lose that quality totally, all right?
All right.
But the reason you sound young is, number one, you could use a better diction, in other words, better pronunciation, which will give you more authority in your voice without having to go like this, you know, get in a lower pitch and be more commanding, more assertive.
All right.
You don't come across to me as a person, since you used the word pleasant, that wants to be assertive necessarily, directly assertive, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. So what we're looking for is a more expressive pitch in your voice, a more expressive tone by changing pitches. So we lower the pitch and we go up in the pitch. So we say, hello, how are you? As opposed to, hello, how are you, da-da-da, sort of flat. Do you understand what I mean when I say flat?
Yes, I do.
Now, there you went. Oh, she caught me. Yes, I do. And now we're up here, right? Okay, so your voice tone actually reflects very easily how you're feeling and where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
I can read you off of your voice. And believe me, this is a skill that everyone ought to learn. You can read through people's rhythm, how they change their pitch, how they change their volume, how they suddenly don't have any energy in their voice because they feel self-conscious. On and on it goes. So you don't really have to see people. You can hear, I mean, psychics, okay, I'm not saying people are not psychic and intuitive, but a lot of the way they know who they're talking to and what's gone on in their lives is through the tone of their voice and how they use their voice pattern, how they use their breathing, how much anxiety they have, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so Lynn, going back to you, you want to sound more pleasant and you want to lower the pitch. So without going into too much detail, what I am saying to you is that what you want to do is use more variety in pitch, correct?
Yeah.
So that you have low pitches and high pitches and you have more expressiveness in your voice and you're not so flat. And the other thing, this will make you sound more pleasant. When you want to be more commanding, you need to speak with more energy, more breath behind the voice, and you also need to enunciate. Most people run their words together, don't say the ends of their words, and so they never sound very believable, credible, or authoritative. I mean, you could be reading the telephone book, and as long as you say it with good enunciation, people will say, my, I better listen.
Okay.
You see? I just heard, okay, as opposed to, okay. Let's hear the word.
Okay.
There you go. And you had to take a breath to do it, right?
Correct.
And I heard a change in pitch. I heard, okay, do you guys? As opposed to, okay, da-da-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, which is a flat sort of no effort to put energy and expressiveness in the voice. Is that enough for you at the present time?
It is. The only other question I would have on that front is when I do get up and have to speak in front of a group of people, my voice absolutely goes higher than it normally is.
This is because you don't breathe.
All right.
All right. Now, I will say that I'm going at the end of this seminar to explain that I have a June teleclass coming up where people learn the basics of speaking. And one of the basics of speaking is to use the breath. And you inhale and you talk on the exhale. When you get in a public situation, such as talking in front of people, most people would rather die, which I find a little bit much. than to speak in front of people. I mean, you know, let's not go that far, right? But they do get, quote, unquote, nervous, and the first thing you do when you get nervous is your breathing becomes very shallow, and you start talking off your vocal cords, so now you're up here, right? And you're basically sending the message, oh, my God, I'm up here. I hope this gets over quickly.
Yes.
You see, I'm not saying that you have that high of a voice, but the reason the voice goes up is because it's not grounded by the breath.
Right.
And you're not relaxed. And when people are not relaxed, when they become nervous, the first thing they do is they freeze the breath, what they call it. They breathe shallowly. I mean, you have to be breathing or otherwise you'd be dead.
Sure.
Right? Okay, so we'll address that later. I want to get to some other people. And then has anyone else come on the line? Please speak up. I know there are oftentimes people on the line who never mention because I see how many people are on the line when it's over. They send me the number of phone calls that have been in there. So I have your number anyway, right? So speak up. Who is next? Let's see. Who do we have? We have Lynn. We had Greg, Casey. Who was the next person who came on? Was it Kevin?
Yes, probably.
Okay. And your question was how to slow down and speak at an acceptable volume and do it consistently. Give me a little more information.
Well, I'm known to be a fast talker from New York, and that's been my story. I'm conscious of it, so I do make an effort to speak at a reasonable pace, and I think I do fairly well most of the time, but just thought I'd ask the question and see what additional tips you can give me.
How does the volume come into it? Are you loud and fast, or just you get loud at times? Or?
No, probably on the lower end, so I may get lower
quiet
at times as opposed to louder at times.
Okay. So you're a New Yorker. I don't hear an accent.
That's probably, I guess that's good.
Yeah, that's good. We have a basically non-regional speaking there. All right. Well, a lot of people from New York talk fast. This is actually part of the country that a lot of Easterners talk much faster than people from California or the Midwest. So the proper speaking speed is 145 words a minute. The range is between 120 and 160. So one of the ways of testing your speed and sort of getting it into your ear what is appropriate for good communication is to take any book or something that you can actually read easily, not where the print is very small, and you put a stopwatch on and you read out loud for 1 minute, and then you go back and you count every word, that's prepositions, pronouns, etc., right? Then you count back and you see how many words a minute you actually, or you hear, because what you have to learn to do is hear it. You hear the pacing, the speed. And if you're going at 145, you probably speak at 150 to 155. Most people speak faster than they read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and then you have to decide with the ums, you know, whether you have ums and ahs and filler words in there. Because I can be speaking very fast like this and then go, You get it?
Yes.
Okay. So, the idea is to keep reading out loud until you hear what 145 words are. So if you're reading at 150, you just do it again a little slower and count. Then you start, it's like a metronome on a piano. You start to hear, ta-dee-ba-ba-boop-ba, ta-dee-ba-ba-boop-ba. You hear what the rhythm or the pacing is. And you train yourself to speak at that rhythm or at that pace.
Okay.
All the time.
And
that is not just when you're on a phone call. What kind of work do you do?
I'm the chief operating officer for a...
You are what?
Chief operating officer.
Okay.
For a health plan.
For a help desk. Oh, I've worked for many help desks.
No, I'm sorry. Health plan. Managed care company, health plan.
Good. All right. Well, you see, I didn't even catch that, did I? I didn't catch the difference between TH and P. Help, I heard.
Okay.
As opposed to health. So we want to pay attention. Now, people who talk fast, one of the reasons they can do it is because, and you'll have to excuse me a minute, is that they don't pronounce their words. If I drop the ends of my words, it allows me to speed. If I have to say my words clearly, then I have to take the time to do it. So that's a good way of reducing the speed. So there you go. You're a chief operating officer. You're talking a lot, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you have the opportunity to practice endlessly. Every time, people, that you open your mouth, you get a chance to practice.
Mm-hmm.
At 145 words a minute. So you train yourself. And no matter how important you feel the next phone call is that you're going to get, or you have to get out to the next meeting, or the kids are waiting at home, or whatever it is, it's driving you to speak fast. You make sure that you stay at 145 words a minute. After a while, it'll become second nature to you. That's how you'd build the consistency. The idea of becoming quiet, again, I ask you, what situations do you become quiet in? Is it the situation? Is it the people you're talking to that make you suddenly lose volume?
I think what it is that I'm conscious of my speed, so in attempting to slow down, I also lower my volume. That's what I think it is.
Okay, we never do that. We just slow down, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And people, I need to let you know that none of this is rocket science. The bottom line is, if you can't be heard or understood, then your communication does not work very well, correct? I mean, that's
right.
Just it. I mean, so you can't be understood if you talk fast. You can't be understood if you don't enunciate words clearly. And then if I'm dealing with foreign people from India, for instance, I have so many IT people who come from India, and they have excellent skills, of course. And we know in corporations the way you get more money is to be promoted to a manager, a project manager, et cetera. Now, this means that your communication skills have to be better, and you have to be understood, correct? So we're not saying I'm comfortable, you know. I'm very comfortable. Comfortable, you know. No one knows what you're talking about, even though you're speaking English. This is because you're not putting the heavy stress on the right syllable. It's comfortable. It's not comfortable. So when foreign people, what they're doing is taking whatever the rhythm of their language is and superimposing it on English, which changes the rhythm of the word itself. And so I just talked to a man from Africa. He speaks Swahili and a couple local languages. He's from Kenya. He is trying to get his first job. I don't know if it's his first job, but his job after being taken a master's degree in actuary science and mathematics. And his first job interview is always over the telephone, as it is these days. So they rate you basically on how well you speak. And he is a very soft-spoken and rather inarticulate person because his work and all his is basically non-speaking work. So he has to develop these tools. Okay, does that give you enough information, Kevin?
Yes, that's helpful. Thank you.
Good. Lynn. We just did Lynn. Julie.
Hi. Julie.
Yeah, Julie. I have how to speak with confidence. That's it.
Yes.
So, give me some more information there.
I don't have many opportunities throughout the year to present in front of the client. It's pretty much just once a year. So throughout the year, I don't have much opportunities to practice. And I think what I find with myself is when I speak, sometimes it sounds like I'm ending my statements like a question, and I think that doesn't make me sound very confident. As well, I speak quietly. I don't know how to make my voice any louder than it is. And even when I'm thinking that I'm speaking at a loud, volume, everybody else in the room still can't hear me.
Oh, wow. And how many people are in the room?
Could be up to 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that gives me a little more information. First thing I would ask you, you're in Toronto, right?
I am.
And they have Toastmasters in Toronto, I'm sure, because it's an international organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get into a Toastmasters club. It's for
free. Okay.
And you could, if you wanted to, give a 7-minute speech every week. Plenty of practice.
Okay.
And it's lots of fun, and everybody there is trying to learn to be a better speaker, so they are very, very sympathetic to people and their needs, etc. They also have filler word counters, which they call awe counters, etc. And they give you feedback on your voice, on your body language, and also on your content. So it's a wonderful place to get exposed to getting up and speaking in front of people so that this once-a-year presentation doesn't hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of your voice and what I just wrote down, the Valley Girl thing,
mm-hmm.
I'm not hearing Valley Girl right now. I'm not hearing, so, you know what I said? I thought it was like, you know, so cool, right? You know, wow, all that kind of thing. How old are you?
31.
31, okay. You know, I have to watch when I ask people. I didn't think you were very old, so you wouldn't be embarrassed saying, you know. All right, to me, I'm older than all of you, so it doesn't matter, you know. But I'm looking at that, and I'm hearing, what is your job?
I work in marketing.
So you, what kind of work?
I'm an account manager, so I work with the client and also with our internal creative teams and web teams.
Okay. So account manager means you're overseeing people and you're interfacing with the client continually on an ongoing process.
Yes, my main client is in Ottawa, so a lot of the stuff I do is actually over the telephone, and that's why I don't get to see them in person to do my presentations. And when it does happen that once a year, I get all nervous.
I don't blame you. Now, here we go. I think you're a person who is nice. Is that correct?
I am.
You're not a person who is just trying to sound nice for the benefit of the client and whatever.
No.
So I think what you need to do, and that we'll all do this today, this will be our question that we'll work on. Everybody has a public persona. If you look at communication with a total of 100%, right,
mm-hmm.
55% of it is body language, 35% is voice tone and diction, etc., and 10% are words. And, of course, you've heard this before, but now it becomes even more real because 10%, everyone goes, well, I said it. I don't know why. I said it pleasantly, nicely. I don't know why they didn't get it. Well, oftentimes, because face-to-face, the other 90% is not supporting the words. That would be number one. On the telephone, it's 80%, all right? 80% is voice tone and diction, 20% are words. So when you're giving your presentation, your voice is 80% of whether or not that person really is engaged and connected. So what I would like you to think of before we would ever get into any voice training or even going through breathing and all this other stuff is you need to expand how you see yourself when dealing with a client or even with your other people on your team. It's not only always being pleasant and nice, mm-hmm. which is fine, but it's also being authoritative, it's being expressive, it's being passionate, it's being convincing, persuasive, it's being knowledgeable, credible, trustworthy. You hear all these different words that I'm now using?
Yep.
That expand how you want to communicate. And your voice is now keeping you in one dimension. I'm a 31-year-old, pleasant, nice person.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm not making any statement about that. But in your job, you have many more places you can go
mm-hmm.
with your voice. How I'm doing right now, I'm really pulling you in, right?
Yes.
But I'm not saying you can have many more places you can go. Because I can't talk to someone like you like that. Because you would go, right? So I get up here a little higher. You have many places you can go.
Okay.
I soften it a little bit, but I still drive home the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You get it?
Yeah.
So you start to learn to use your voice in a way that it becomes a tool that you love using, especially when you're over the telephone. Because
mm-hmm.
it's your only tool other than your words. So that's what I would advise you to start doing. Now, and to go to Toastmasters will build your confidence. I don't think you're an unconfident person. You don't come across as being lacking in confidence. If you were talking to me like this, I would say, oh, well, okay. Right? But
yeah.
You're not. You have tons of energy. You have lots of life force. This is how I'm reading you.
Okay.
But somewhere along the line, and you are 31, so that's not like a youngster,
mm-hmm.
right? You were taught, as many women were taught, to be what?
Nice.
Yes. And there is nothing wrong with being nice. Nothing whatsoever. But you need to expand your concept of communication so that you have more tricks in your bag of tricks.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes
more
sense.
More ways, pardon me?
Go that ahead. Totally makes sense.
Yeah, more ways of expressing yourself. And it becomes very much fun. One thing you can start doing also is reading out loud. Now, this is for everybody. I'm going. Has anybody else come on the line?
Yes, this is Danielle Douglas.
Oh,
I just came
Danielle.
On about 15 minutes ago.
Good. So you've been listening, and now as soon as I hear you talking, I'm getting a lot of static. Are you on a cell phone?
I am not, but my phone is close to the phone, so I'm moving it right now.
Oh, you're such a kind, loving person.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you.
Danielle, did you give me a question and I just didn't get it?
No, I did not. I just
okay.
came from a meeting, staff meeting, so no, I didn't.
Okay.
Have
time. So do you have a question?
Not at the moment. I don't.
Okay, so you just want to be a participant.
Yes.
And what we're going to do now we have anybody else who has a question or someone who had a question and now you've been listening for a while and you want to make a comment or ask another question, let's open it up for that. Okay, Casey, Greg,
yeah.
Kevin, any of you, Julie?
Yeah, Sandra, I have a yeah. comment.
Okay.
You talked earlier about...
And this is Greg, I know.
Yeah, this is Greg in San Antonio. And I guess my question is kind of harboring around maybe developing bad habits. Like, I know when I started, when I took my voice coaching with you, I trailed off on my words, my sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've found now received your coaching and my new speaking habit where I'm speaking up more, one of the things I find that I'm utilizing initially that's making me love my voice is what I call breaking the words. I struggled initially with words where stressing the right syllables.
Mm-hmm.
And a tool that I've kind of developed and, like I said, has put me in the frame of loving my voice is breaking the words up.
So could you give
the
people an example?
Example would be any type of word with more than one syllable.
Ah,
I would
okay.
basically, and when I say break, it's more like a bend, meaning, and for me to be able to stress on the right syllable, I see myself breaking that word up by quickly pronouncing the first syllable, but know that I still have another syllable to articulate.
Right.
So is that something you think would be a plus or a minus?
Oh, I think it's a great plus for you, because I remember working with you because it was just a couple of weeks ago that we ended. It's a great plus for everybody to work on. And, for instance, let me go through that with everybody unless we have any more comments. Does anybody have something they want to say? Please feel free to say it.
This is Casey. I have one comment.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn in Seattle, could I ask what is your posture as you're talking on the phone? Because to me, it sounded like you're immediately as if your lungs were not full of air when you were speaking.
Are you talking to me?
No, he's talking to me, I think. You're probably correct. Right now, I am sitting in my chair, leaning over my desk to talk into the speaker of the phone. So you're probably right. My lungs were compressed, or are compressed.
I do the same thing. I work in a couple different environments, and in this environment, my speakerphone sits on the desk.
Yes.
In my other environment, I have it up about a foot and a half so that my head is up, and I notice a huge difference in my speaking when I'm talking up rather than down to the desk.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just an observation.
Yeah, good point.
Fabulous, Casey. Thank you for throwing that in there. I like this kind of dialogue because I don't know everything. You know, I really don't. I'm just a voice teacher. What else? Does anyone else have anything?
This is Lynn. I'd like to just on that front, what do you suggest when you're on a call like this? Do you suggest that you talk to the speakerphone section of your phone, or do you say, no, you should pick the handset up so that you can lean back in your chair and talk into the handset?
Because okay, Casey, what do you think?
Here where I am, I'm also hearing challenged. So whenever I can, I will put the headset up to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I'm sitting back in the chair, and I'm usually looking upwards towards the top of the window and talking that way. So, and depending on your speakerphone, you may be able to, talk kind of upwards, and the speakerphone would pick it up anyways. Just depends on the phone. You'd have to try it with somebody to see what they hear and how much trails off as you move your voice around the room.
Okay.
Anybody else have a comment on this before I say something? I never use a speakerphone because I feel that they have hollow sounds. They're usually in some, as you say, awkward place, and unless I have to, for instance, I will be at a corporation in which they have one of those things in the middle of a conference table, and there's five or six people around, and we have to, at that point, we're now down, we cannot move the speakerphone because this is where it's, tied to the table or whatever. What I use is a headset because I feel much more comfortable, and I use a Plantronics headset. And this, you can buy those at Radio Shack or whatever. They're pretty good. You can control the volume on them, both outgoing and incoming. And then you can get professional headsets. I find it much easier to deal with and much more intimate. You're not sort of talking into the, into the speakerphone from, 3 feet away from wherever it's sitting in a conference call. However, if you're forced to do that, you have to learn to project. So I think we'll go over that today. We'll go over projection, we'll go over public persona, and we'll go over breaking up the words for Greg. All right? But again, before I get into that, anything else, any other comments, any other ideas you want to throw forward? We've got plenty of time.
This is Lynn again. If you have some tips for trying to control your nervousness and thus your voice being affected in front of groups. That's one of the things that I find very annoying as far as my lack of ability to relax enough to have my voice sound good in front of a group.
Okay, so we'll do relaxation. I hear all of those buzzes. I think people are coming onto the line or going off the line. Is there anybody else who's come on the line who wants to speak up? Okay, so then what we're going to do is we're going to start out with relaxation because we're now in a virtual room and I'm going to work with you as a group. You can take yourself off of mute if you don't have a lot of background noise so that you can feel like you're closer to my voice. All right, not so distant. So I want everybody to just relax by going, leaning back in their chair so that their lungs are not collapsed. Okay? And I want you to close your eyes and go to a place in your own imagination that you feel very, very comfortable, very relaxed. Maybe it could be sitting in front of a fireplace or lying on a beach in the sun, but some place where you feel very relaxed. And just stay there for a minute and just allow yourself to breathe. I'm hearing somebody having a lot of background noise. All right, I think we all better go on mute. Star 6, please. Just for the relaxation exercise. So we're in this wonderful place. And we're just making it come alive in our own imagination by, are there any smells? Are you eating anything? Is anything touching you, wind against your face? Are there sounds there? And just be there and notice your breathing. Don't try to change it, just notice it. And then what I'm going to do is put us through an exercise together. Now, I won't be able to hear you, so I'm just going to let you go ahead and do this. And I will explain it, I'll demonstrate it, and then we'll do it together 7 times, that lucky 7 number. So here's the explanation. You're going to exhale all of your air. Then you're going to inhale through your nose on a slow count of 4. You're going to hold your breath for a count of 4. And you're going to exhale through your mouth on a count of 4. And I'm going to count for you. So this is the demonstration. Exhale my breath. Inhale through my nose. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. So we're going to inhale through the nose on a slow count of 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. And exhale through the mouth. 2, 3, 4. And now we're going to begin and do it together 7 times, and I will count. And here we'll have a bell to begin and to end. Exhale all of your air. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. And exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale and hold. And exhale. 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 One more inhale. Good. Now you should feel very centered, very relaxed in the breath, and you've just had to concentrate on one thing. Now, Lynn, I think it was you who asked that question about relaxation.
Yes.
You can do this. We can all come back off of push star 6. I'll come back into the room if you'd like. And you can do this in a meeting. You don't want to close your eyes. You don't want to go off into another space or world. But quietly, you can just inhale through your nose, hold your breath, and exhale through your mouth. And just do that, and immediately it brings your nervous system to the center. Didn't you feel much more relaxed, Lynn?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. It brings your nervous system to a center. It concentrates on a breath. It also brings your mind into alignment so that you know that you can choose to go in a certain direction. Now, I would do this anytime when I felt nervous, period, when anxiety comes up. There are people who I teach that have ADD, attention deficit disorder, and they need to learn to connect to their breath. Because they talk very fast, Kevin. Most people do who have ADD. And they don't connect to the meaning of what they're saying. Okay. Any comments on that relaxation breathing?
No.
Oh. No?
Very relaxing.
Right. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go into the concept Greg mentioned about breaking up the words, because I think it's very interesting. He uses breaking up the words. I use, and Kevin, I think this is very important for you. I think I mentioned it, learning to stress the correct syllable. In English, we need to hear 3 degrees of stress in a word, the heavily stressed syllable. If we have a word like toy boat, there's 2 words, but there's only 1 syllable in each word, and so you are just simply going to, you know, each word, or each the only syllable is going to be stressed. So we say toy boat. We don't say toy boat, right? So let's go around the room. Everybody's off of mute, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And we're going to start with Casey, and then we'll go to Greg. I'll call up the names, and I want you to just say toy boat. Here we go. Casey?
Toy boat.
Good. Greg?
Toy boat.
Good. Kevin?
Toy boat.
Lynn?
Toy boat.
Julie?
Toy boat.
And the other woman who I wrote your name down, but I know you're there, is it?
Danielle.
Danielle.
Danielle. Here we go.
Toy boat.
Good. Now I heard toy boat. And you threw
yes.
the boat. Toy boat. Clearly, what, heavy stress on both syllables.
Toy boat.
Good. Is there anybody else online who wants to join? Okay, so now we know what our room is. Now we're going to go to a 2-syllable word, lemon. All right? The heavy syllable is, the heavy stress is on lem. Lemon. So a lot of people just go lemon, right? And they slur that word. So here we go around the room, heavy stress on lem, and mun is secondarily stressed, meaning I'm not going lemon and throwing it away. I'm going lemon, right? So it's first heavy stress and secondarily stressed. Here we go, Casey.
Lemon.
Greg?
Lemon.
Good. Kevin?
Lemon.
Julie?
Lemon.
Lynn?
Lemon.
A little heavy. Lemon. Let's do it a little more clear.
Lemon.
Good. Danielle.
Lemon.
Now, again, I hear lemon. Lemon. Hit it a little harder on the lem. Lemon.
Lemon.
That's very good. Now we go to a 3-syllable word. Linament. You know, like horse liniment. So it's liniment. The heavy accent is on the lin. Second arrow on the mint, and the is thrown away. So we go liniment. Here we go. Casey.
Liniment.
Greg.
Liniment.
Good. Kevin.
Liniment.
All right. That was getting a little fast. Liniment, you know. Let's hit it again.
Liniment.
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 Good. And Julie.
Liniment.
Lynn?
Liniment.
Danielle.
Liniment.
Okay, the mint was thrown away. I didn't hear that.
Liniment.
Yeah, because the mint is secondarily stressed, so I don't want to hear liniment, you see? And that's what fast people and people who throw things away at the end of the word, which you want to get out of that habit, do. They go, liniment. It's liniment. Again?
Liniment. Okay. Liniment.
Yeah, you have to say that T. Good. So that's a good example of making sure that you say words clearly and you have the second, first, primarily stressed, secondarily stressed, and unstressed are clearly articulated. The other thing we were going to go through was projection. These are skill sets right now. Then we're going to go to the idea of public persona, which I want us to discuss. Okay, projection is a skill set. Projection is the art of throwing your voice into the phone, across the room, and, of course, you throw the voice as far as you need to. So if you're at a conference table, you need to throw your voice to the other end of the conference table if there's somebody sitting there. Everyone between you and the furthest person away will be able to hear you. Most people talk just to the people around them, and they don't include everybody, correct? So what we're going to do is we're going to put our thumb and our forefinger together and make the big OK sign. So in other words, we're making a big O, right? And we're going to pretend that is the opening of our megaphone. I'm talking about cheerleading megaphones or megaphones they used in the movies in 1940. Okay? So the idea is that you're throwing your voice into the opening of the megaphone and it is being projected to the ear of the listener. Okay, so we're going to use the word hello. And we're going to put that opening the megaphone up to our voice. We're going to take a good breath and we're going to throw our voice through the megaphone. Hello. Casey?
Hello.
Hello.
Good. Greg?
Hello.
Good. Kevin?
Hello.
Good. Lynn?
Hello.
Okay, I'm hearing hello back here. Throw it into the megaphone.
Hello.
Good. Julie?
Hello.
Okay, you're pulling, hello. You're pulling it back. The O has to go through the megaphone. Hello.
Hello.
Good. Danielle?
Hello.
Good. The hell didn't go through. Hello.
Hello.
Good. Doesn't everybody sound much more energetic, alive, dynamic?
Yes.
Give me your feedback.
Yes.
What do you think? Julie, what do you think? Didn't people sound better?
Yes.
Now, I'm hearing yes back here. Yes. Throw it into your megaphone.
Yes.
Good. So it's a very simple act. You just have to take a breath and throw it into the ear of the listener. Instead of holding the voice back in the back of the throat like this, or right in the mouth like this, you know, this is how Lily Tomlin sounded on some of her people that she spoke, you know, that she used for her characters, right? Yeah. One ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. You know, who was that? I forget the name of that telephone operator she used to do. Ernestine, that was her name, right? Okay. I guess I'm too old. Most people are not old enough to remember Ernestine. Does anybody remember that?
No.
Well, I do.
I remember some skits that she did. Yes.
Well, I mean, she was so good that AT&T wanted to, they were going to pay her tons of money for that character, for their commercials. She wouldn't do it. So I mean, it was a pretty popular one. All right. So now we have learned today what? Relaxation exercise, we've learned to throw our voice through the megaphone, in other words, to project it as opposed to keeping it back here or right in the mouth. And we have learned to stress the heavy syllable in words and to say them clearly. I would now like, if anybody has any other questions, please say them now because we're going to go into public persona. Comments, questions, thoughts?
I have a question.
Who is this? This is Julie.
It's Julie. So I think I do have to learn how to project my voice. Am I supposed to, like, consciously feel something in my throat or in my mouth in order to project, or is it? I guess I'm not really sure how
okay.
to do that.
It's a concept, number one, the idea of being aware that you're throwing your voice through a megaphone, right?
Mm-hmm.
To do that, you have to breathe. You can't do it off of your I can't say, hello, ah. I can't do it right off of my vocal cords. I have to take a breath and go, hello, and everybody did it.
Okay.
You will automatically take a breath because you're throwing your voice through the megaphone. It's like when people sing, they immediately go, oh, my God, I'm singing. I better breathe. But when they talk, they just talk off the vocal cords like this. As soon as you have to sing, you go, amazing grace, right?
Uh-huh.
You will just check it out when you're in church or any other place where someone says to sing. The first thing you do is breathe. It's the same thing when you speak. I'm not going into a whole lot of breathing exercises, et cetera, because that's more involved and than I'm actually teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to keep more to the questions and to the comments at this point. But I will talk about that in a couple of minutes. How you can learn how to breathe and project more and enunciate and so forth. Any other questions, people? Is everybody still with me?
Yes.
That's great.
Sandra, just a comment on with that instruction you just gave.
Mm-hmm.
I think what helped me was that exercise where you asked me to speak to sit to a count, like 1, 2, 3, and then to remain at 2.5. That's helped me immensely in terms of projection.
Okay. Now, Greg is talking about volume control.
Okay.
But that's okay because it's directly related to projection. You can project quietly. I can say, hello. And then I can say, hello, hello, hello. So I can project at any volume. But the point is I always throw my voice to the ear of the listener. So I could be in a very intimate situation with a little baby or something, and I could be going, oh, hello, sweetheart. I'm still throwing my voice right to that baby. I'm saying projection is asking someone to listen. It's called I'm engaging you. Now, volume for Greg was he never wanted to speak loudly enough, so we had to go quiet, louder and louder, and we recognize that this is too loud, really, for most people, so we back off of it a little bit, and now we are talking at what we call 2.5. So I go 1, 2, 3, and that's a bit too loud for most people, so we pull it back a little bit, 2.5. And we know that this is the volume we need to stay at for people to hear you. So I just repeated that for you, Greg, because I wanted to reinforce it. And
right.
I explained the process, the relationship between projection and volume, but I'm not going to put everybody through that as in the class today or in the seminar today. Okay, any other comments? Then we're going to go on to public persona. If you have a pencil, pencil and paper, this is the time to get it out. Because this is for Julie, right? Was it you,
yes.
Julie, I said, who needed to have a larger conception
yes.
of how? Okay. But I think we can all use this. It's just that I zeroed in on Julie for it. Here we go. If I said to you, Kevin, Lynn, Julie, Casey, Greg, Danielle, how do you want to sound? And adjectives came to your mind. I'd like you to write those adjectives down. But for the purposes of the class, let's go around the room, and we'll keep going around the room until we get as many adjectives as you can think of. And please write them down, write all the adjectives, and so will I. Okay, we're going to go again. Casey, how do you want to sound? Casey, are you still there?
Sorry, I was talking on mute.
Okay.
Enticing?
Okay, so everybody
engaging.
Write down enticing, engaging, what else?
Interesting.
Interesting. Anything
interesting.
Else?
No, that's it for now.
Okay, so let's go to Greg.
Persuasive.
Persuasive. Mm-hmm.
Authoritative.
Authoritative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else,
Awful.
Greg?
Powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll each give three because I'm sure we'll get them all by then. Now let's move to Kevin.
Clear.
Clear.
Audible.
Audible.
Enthusiastic.
Who wrote it? What was that one?
Enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. Okay, this is a new person, right?
Yeah, Apollo.
Who is this?
Apollo.
Apollo. Okay, great. Enthusiastic. What else, Kevin?
I think the others mentioned strong, which is sort of confident, I guess.
Strong and confident. Good.
Engaging.
We already have that one.
Okay, I think that's it for me then.
Good, okay. Apollo, do you have any more?
I got everything said already.
Okay, and then let's ask, who was next? Julie, what, do you have something to add?
So I couldn't hear if knowledgeable was already said.
It wasn't, so
okay.
That's a good one. Knowledgeable, and neither was credible.
Convincing and passionate.
Convincing and passionate. Good. And Lynn, do you have something?
Yes, engaging.
Okay.
Intelligent.
Intelligent, uh-huh.
Inspiring.
Inspiring, mm-hmm. Okay, sounds to me like you might have another one in there.
Professional and articulate.
Professional, good, and articulate. And Danielle, anything else?
Well, the wonderful thing about being at the end, everyone covered it.
I know, don't you love it?
Yes, every time someone covered one point, they got the other. So I think I'm covered.
Okay, let me read these aloud now just to make sure everybody has them because I'm going to ask you to prioritize. So we're starting with enticing, engaging, interesting, persuasive, authoritative, powerful, clear, audible, enthusiastic, strong, confident, knowledgeable, convincing, passionate, intelligent, inspiring, professional, articulate. And I'm going to add 145 words a minute for Kevin. And I also would like to add energetic, sincere, friendly. Okay. Now, what I'd like everybody to do, if you haven't already done it, is to prioritize what for you would be your top six. So do that, and then I'll have you read them out loud to everybody. Okay, most people have it. So let's go around the room. Casey, do you have yours?
Yes, I do.
Would you read them aloud for everybody in your best
voice?
Projecting.
Enticing, engaging, energetic, friendly, inspiring, passionate.
Great. And Casey, what do you do? I don't think you told me.
Right, I spend 99.9% of my time on the phone right now. I do software architecture for a major corporation.
There you go. I remember you now.
Yeah.
I remember our work together. So you see, what Casey chose for his public persona, the way he wanted to sound, is the core of his public persona, so that every time he gets on the phone and speaks, he is going to remember that he's going to use his skill set to sound this way. This is how he wants to sound most of the time when he's talking to people. So he's never going to trail off, because he'll never sound engaging and enticing if he trails off. Right?
That is correct.
Good, Casey. Greg, let's hear yours.
One, professional. Two, intelligent. Three, friendly. Four, persuasive. Five, authoritative. Six, powerful.
Good. And I do know, Greg, that you work giving a lot of presentations and so forth to upper management, correct?
Right. I'm a contract advisor. I negotiate contracts and manage suppliers, and I brief upper management on the results of those contracts negotiations.
So what you have picked, I'm just trying to point up to everybody, what you're picking intuitively relates to what you do most of the time in your life, and the same way for Greg. Wonderful. Let's go to Kevin.
Okay.
We already know that you're a chief operating officer for a health management, right?
Health managed care, health insurance managed care company, yes.
Okay, and so let's hear what you...
Sure. My six, number one, audible. Two, clear. Three, confident. Four, energetic. Five, engaging. And six is sincere.
Perfect for what you do. Don't you think?
I think so.
Good. Okay, and Lynn?
Hello. Powerful, authoritative, professional, engaging, confident, and intelligent.
And I want to say, sorry, I just have allergies here, that the way you just said that, you projected, you spoke with a lot of command, very clear. It's amazing what you have just done with your voice as you articulated, I'm sorry, who you would like to be or how you would like to sound.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that we can't sound one way and not be it. I mean, I don't know if I made that clear, but I have people who come to me and they say, I want to sound sincere. And I say, well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Usually there are certain professions that come to me, you know, who say that. And I'm not going to mention those because this is for all ears. But, okay, here we go. And let's go to Julie.
Okay. I have confident, audible, passionate, energetic, articulate, and knowledgeable.
That was so wonderful, Julie, except did everyone else pick up that last word? We trailed off. It didn't go through your megaphone.
Knowledgeable.
There you go. I have ears that hear everything. Unfortunately, that was great. That was very good, except for that last word. And that's good. And now, Danielle?
Okay. Clear, knowledgeable, confident, inspiring, sincere, and passionate.
Good. Now, I'd like you to say this again by throwing them through the megaphone with a little more energy. Did you hear, Julie, that Danielle is now being nice with her voice? And we want to hear all those words. You know, we're opening up the whole concept. So let's give it to me again.
Sure. Clear, knowledgeable, confident, inspiring, sincere, passionate.
Good. Now I heard more in her voice. Did everyone else hear more in her voice?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this business about being nice, you know, it's all well and good. But in business, it's only one aspect, right? There is much more going on. And so we don't want to just use our voice in a nice, pleasant way. We want to be able to use our voice in many other ways. And Paulo, I have not forgotten about you. What did you pick?
What I have is powerful, clear, friendly, passionate, inspiring, articulate.
Wonderful. And what do you do, Apollo?
Retired.
You're retired?
Yeah.
But you're still using your voice in everyday life, correct?
No, not very much. Just talk to my wife.
Well, that's still important. And when you go to the bank and when you go to the grocery store and when you do all these things?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, is anybody else on the phone that I've missed? Okay, great. Now, Apollo, you did ask that you how do we get motivated to do the exercises.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you already buy CDs from me?
Yeah, the first one.
Did you listen? There's two of them in there. Did you listen to the second one?
Yeah, I listened to them. Yeah,
okay,
what you
need to do is you need to make a plan. You have to decide that at a certain time every day you're going to sit down and you're going to do 20 minutes of these exercises. Then you can also start reading out loud. Use your voice. If you're not doing anything other than talking to your wife, maybe you should buy a novel and start reading out loud to your wife and using the pronouncing of the words clearly, the breathing, all the exercises that are on the CD. And you and your wife can have just a little private time together where you read out loud to her.
Okay.
All right? That's a really good way to practice, and it also builds your relationship. It does. It creates a kind of intimacy. Most people now just watch TV together or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, now for everybody else, I wanted to bring up the fact that if you want to do more work with your voice or if you want to come back, and I do these every month, and you'll be getting things in your email saying we'll have another seminar. I'm not sure what the date is for next month. It's probably... It's not a Wednesday, it's a Tuesday because I have to go to Indianapolis. But so it's either June 3rd, I think, or something like that. I'm not sure, but you will get notice. And you can come back with more questions. You can come back with more comments. You can come back just to listen. So that's always available, and it's for free. So the people who have studied with me, if you want to attend again, that is great. Then I also do a June telecourse. I do one every month, and it's on Monday nights. Eastern Standard Time, it's 8 to 9:30, and Pacific Standard Time, 5 to 6:30, and then Mountain would be 6 to 7:30, and Central would be 7 to 8:30. And it's four consecutive sessions for an hour and a half on the telephone. You get the practice CDs, which I sell separately for $49, but you get them in this course, plus a 58-page manual. I teach the course, and there are only six people in the class. It's basic voice production. So for those of you who need to have more control of your voice, we learn breathing techniques. We learn how to project. We learn how to phrase. We learn how to work on our speaking skills, our diction, working with our syllables, etc., which I gave you a taste of today. And that course, you get all of that for $175, which is a very reasonable price for this type of work. So, again, you get the CDs, you get the manual, you get me teaching, you get four sessions in a small class of six people in a virtual telephone room. So you'll get notice of that. We'll be coming to you in the email, and I already have two people signed up for June, so there are four places open. And the two people that are signed up for June, one is from Georgia, and she's working on her diction, and the other one's from Africa, and she is a lawyer, and she is working on her diction, pronunciation, and volume. So that is all I have to say. I do private coaching also, but if you want to talk about that, you can give me an email separately. Do anybody have any more questions or comments?
I have a question on the schedule. Is it always Monday?
Yes, for the class?
Yeah.
It's always Monday nights, yes. It's Mondays in May, Monday in June. I'm sorry about that. I guess I could change it, but I probably won't change it until at least August.
Yeah.
All right.
Because,
I understand.
I have my Toastmasters meeting.
Well, you just have to give it up for 1 month.
Okay.
Okay, and anybody else have questions?
Sandra, what is your email address?
Sandra M, as in Mary, at voicepowerstudios, that's with an S, .com. And, of course, all this will come to you in an email, like in a day.
All right.
Mm-hmm. The June teleclass will come to you, and, you know, the parameters, what's in it, what the dates are, how much it costs, et cetera. Anybody else? Okay, well, we're exactly straight up 70 minutes, I do believe. And
okay.
I'm just very pleased to have everybody on the class. And as I say, you're welcome to come back month after month with questions, et cetera. And
yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
You're
bye-bye.
Welcome, and have great days.
You too.
Yes. Thank
Make
you.
It a great day. Bye-bye.
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 This conference is no longer being